Now, if you would turn with me to God's Word, our text is to be found in Job 14 and verse 14. Job 14 and verse 14. Let us hear God's Word. Job 14 and verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Simple title for the sermon tonight is Life Now and Life Then. Life Now and Life Then. Now, as we come to this chapter, Job here before the Lord pleadeth for forbearance and mercy in view of the brevity of life with all its difficulties and the certainty of death, which is facing every man. Come and meet to verse 1, and we'll read through to verse 3. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such as one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Now, as we note there, as Job makes his plea here in this chapter before the Lord, that he speaks of life, which is short, and then of death, which is certain. Life is short, and death is certain. It is vital then that a man is prepared for his departure. For we read in verse 10, but man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? The soul of man will be found in another place. For the believer, as we considered this morning, it will be heaven. And oh, what joy, what bliss will be known there. However, for the unbeliever who dies in their sins, it will be in that place Jesus called hell. And oh, what misery and sorrow is known in that place. In heaven, such joy and bliss for the believer, but in hell for the unbeliever, such misery and sorrow. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? The soul departs. Now there is what we call the intermediate state, that is between death and resurrection. And Job considers this here. Come with me again to verse 10, and we read down to verse 12. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fell from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down, and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. But Job considers the sleep of death. The body sleeps in the grave, but not the soul. It is conscious. Moses and Elijah were seen talking with Jesus, and that shows there is communion in heaven above for the redeemed. The soul is conscious. The soul of the believer will be rejoicing with Christ in heaven. The soul of the unbeliever will be in great torments in hell. So there's the intermediate state. Now in verse 13, Job makes this request. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Hide me from the trials and afflictions of this life. Keep an eye on my body. When I die, all thy minute particles until the great day. Whilst my soul is in glory, watch out to my body, even to the very minute particles. The grave for the believer is a resting place, but also a hiding place, a place of shelter. Note this request in verse 13 again. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. He desires his afflictions and sorrows to be past. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave. And then we come to our text tonight. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. We have this question. If a man die, shall he live again? Well, the answer is plainly, in light of God's word, that a man will not be found living here in his present state again. But there is a coming future resurrection. In John 5, verse 28, our Lord said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And they shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation." Now Job takes comfort here. Note these words. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. He's looking to death and then beyond death. He's looking to that great day. And he takes comfort and he rests in the Lord. Dear child of God, take comfort. Look beyond this veil of tears. There are days coming of great blessing. A change for the better. At death, but then also on that great day particularly. Without any further introduction, let us now directly come to our text. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Well, two things here from our text tonight. Firstly, my appointed days. Secondly, my coming change. My appointed days, my coming change. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. My appointed time. Or it could be my warfare. That's interesting, isn't it? Or service. You see, he's here upon earth. He's a child of God. He's in a warfare. He has service to do for appointed time. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time, or my service, or my warfare, will I wait till my change come? There was a time for him to be found engaged in service, in a warfare here upon earth, when he would battle against many things. Dear congregation, our days are appointed. Go back to verse 5. It's a different Hebrew word, but we note there in verse 5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Thou hast appointed his bounds. Now this needs to be underlined, particularly in these days. Our times are in God's hand. The psalmist said in Psalm 31, verse 15, my times are in thy hand. God holds our lives. God holds our souls. He gives life and he takes life. Job here is considering the time of his service, his life particularly, and he knew it was in God's hands. The appointed days. Back in chapter 1 and verse 21, we have those familiar words which Job said after the death of his sons and daughters. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In his great trial and sorrow, he looks to the Lord, and he praises him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Many would say, how could Job say that? Well, in his trial, he was looking to his Maker, and he was resting in his most holy and wise providence. The Lord gave, and the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God has the right. As we considered the other evening, all murder or unjust taking of a man's life is forbidden, including abortion, suicide, and euthanasia. God has the right, and we are to live our appointed days. Dear brethren, we are to live the time of our service. My appointed days. Well, let's open this up a little further this evening. First of all, there was a beginning. For some here, not so long ago, the Lord gave a beginning. How amazing is conception and birth. Life begins at conception. The Lord makes that plain in the word of God. Zechariah 12 verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Note those words. And formeth the spirit of man within him. The body and soul is united at conception, and the Lord formeth the spirit of man within him. Jeremiah 1 verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, bearing in mind Zechariah 12 verse 1, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I formed thee in the belly. Psalm 139 verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul right knoweth right well. As the psalmist, he's praising the Lord. He's been fearfully and wonderfully made. He looks to his maker. John Gill writes, the formation of man is not of himself, nor of his parents, but of God. Where there is life in the womb. And then consider birth. And one's birth is appointed. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 and 2. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Think of birth. How amazing to see a newborn child. On Friday morning, some of our friends had the joy of seeing a new baby girl, born 21 minutes past midnight. A little new baby girl, on Friday, just 2 days ago. The Lord gave. Oh, let me underline this. The Lord gives. You recall Jacob said to his brother Esau, upon the reunion, when Esau questioned Jacob about the children that were before him, Jacob responds, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Genesis 33 verse 5. Graciously given. And it's of grace, isn't it? That he gives children. Graciously given. In Psalm 127 verse 3, though children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. How this needs to be taught in our land. So few young people are hearing the truth about these things. God gives life. And what a sad thing that is, because so many will not consider their maker. Oh, that these things were taught in our land more and more again. Well, there is a beginning to our appointed days. Well, let's consider, secondly, the number. Verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again all the days of my appointed time, or my warfare, service, the time here in this world, like a battlefield it is, all the days will I wait till my change come. Secondly then, the number. Our time is known. The number of our days. Now in this chapter we are taught the brevity of life, or the shortness of life. Come with me to verse 14. Man that is born of a woman, rather verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. And then verse 2, see the illustration here? He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. You consider the daffodils. Out of the ground they came. There's the green shoot, it appears. Depending on the temperature and the winter, sometimes the shoot suddenly springs up, or other times it takes a long time. But there the shoot comes, and the leaves appear, and all looks fresh and bright. And then the flower comes. But it's not long before the flower begins to turn brown, and so do the leaves. And what happens? After a while, the gardener comes and cuts down the daffodils. They say that you should leave them till they're all gone brown. Some say you should tie them in knots and then cut them down. But here's the illustration. They've all gone brown, and now the gardener comes and cuts them down. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down, short. Normally a man comes forth from the womb. There is youth like the green shoots. There's the prime like the flower, but soon there are the signs of growing old, and life is taken. How quickly life goes. When I was young, I thought those in their 40s were old, and I'm at the threshold of 40. How quickly life passes. How quickly the grey hairs come, the wrinkles on the forehead, the years pass so quickly. And life then is taken. That's how it is normally, isn't it? It's not long, like for the flowers. The spring flowers are here. Then there will be the summer flowers. But you mark well, if the Lord spares, it won't be long to autumn. And there's frost on the ground again. And you're all cold. Go so quickly. That's life, isn't it? The normal, the shoots come, there's the prime, but then there's the signs of decay. But you remember there's some are taken in the prime of life, or even earlier. But whatever, one's days are few. Notice verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. This life is not a bed of roses as some would seek to teach. No, few days, full of, yes, for the believer, there are many joys, but it's intermixed with sorrows that are thorns in this world. Our life is like a handbreadth. Come with me to Psalm 39 and verse 5. Psalm 39 and verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee. A handbreadth. Some have large hands. I was told this week of a dentist who used to work in this area, had very large hands. And he could hardly get his fingers into the mouth. Large hands, but some have small hands. But whatever, a handbreadth is a very short distance. You look at your hand before you go to bed and remember how short your life is. If you're without Christ, you look at your hand and see the importance of fleeing to him while you have time. Very short, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. What are our days compared to God? Think of God, he is eternal. Yes, we have a never-dying soul, but we think of God as eternal, absolutely. For he had no beginning, and he exists in eternity. How great is God! Psalm 90 verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Oh, what a God we have come before tonight. He who inhabiteth eternity. That's a great thought, isn't it? We're in the presence of God who is holy, who inhabits eternity right now. That is so amazing. How great God is, from everlasting to everlasting. Who are we compared to God? Mine age is as nothing before thee. Nothing. How short our lives are. But let us remember they are appointed. There is the number. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. In God's perfect wisdom, in accordance to his sovereign will, in his most holy and wise providence, all our days are appointed. Come back with me to verse 5. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. The days are determined. The word determined from the word which is translated from the Hebrew as determined here speaks of to be sharp, pointed, to point sharply. There's no grey area. It's fixed, it's decided. There's no question. Right down to the last second, right down to your last breath is all appointed. How amazing. God knows how many beats your heart will beat in this life. And all our hearts. And all the hearts of men. He knows. He knows the number of breaths we draw. Our days are determined. He knows the very last beat of our hearts tonight. When it's going to be. Remember, he dwells in eternity. He sees it. He sees you dying. He knows. If you're without Christ, oh, that you would turn to him. He sees, he knows the number of our days. How great God is. Oh, there ought to be such a revere for the Maker today. Our churches and chapels ought to be filled tonight with the men and women of this country. He knows. He knows the number of our days. Our times are in his hand. Thirdly, the end of our appointed days, or the end of our warfare, the time, the service here. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Job speaks of the end. If a man die. Death is certain. At the end of our appointed time here upon earth will come death. And God knows. But death is not the end, is it? Go back to verse 10. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. Here's the end of his appointed time here upon earth. But it's not the end. In that other light, and where is he? Death is the separation of the body and soul. The soul does not cease to exist. That's plain, isn't it? We see that here. Remember the thief this morning? He believed in life after death. The body is laid in the grave. But the soul, firstly of the believer, will be found in heaven. While secondly, the soul of the one who died not believing will be found in hell. Think of this tonight. And put yourself in the light of verse 10. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? I ask you tonight, where will you be? It's a question we must all answer. Where will I be? When death comes, where will your soul be? Dear child of God, you will be with Christ in glory above. But if you're without Christ here tonight, be warned. If you refuse the invitation of the Lord Jesus, you will not be found in heaven. You will be found in hell. There's death, the end of the appointed time. Thousands upon thousands have died this day. Hundreds of thousands have died. Rather, 150,000 will die in this world and enter eternity. Their appointed days are past. What a thought that is. For many, the 20th of April was the end. And yet last year, this time, they never thought that. 5 years ago. But the 20th of April was the end of thousands. What a solemn thought. And the 21st of April will be the end of hundreds more, thousands more. Their appointed days are past. One day, your appointed day, time, will be over. There are a number of documentaries of the First World War. Thousands went off to the trenches and ended their appointed days in the trenches. I do not know where you will end your appointed days, but you will end them. For some it has been in the hospital beds or rest homes, for some in their own homes, for some on the roads, some in the sky, some in the sea. We do not know where. Not one of us knows where we are going to end our appointed days. We do not know. For many of us, we would like to end them, maybe in our own homes, but we don't know. But one thing we do know, they will come to an end. There will be an end of them. Now, what does Job say here? If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. I will wait. In those appointed days, in that warfare, that time of service, he will wait. I will wait. The word wait means, from the Hebrew, to be patient, hope, trust, to expect. I will hope. I will patiently wait. I will trust. He's a man looking to the Lord and resting in him. Well, let's notice a number of things as we consider here these appointed days and that Job is waiting in them. Firstly, Job had faith. Job had faith. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. He's waiting. He's trusting. He could wait, he could have hope, for he had saving faith within his heart. If a man is to be found going to heaven at the end of his appointed days, he must have faith. Job believed the truth of God. He believed Christ. We know that plainly. Job 19 verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job had faith in Christ. He believed the gospel. He believed that there was life in and through Christ. He believed in life after death, in heaven. He was waiting in expectation, as we shall see in a moment. He believed in the resurrection. Verse 12. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep till the heavens be no more. Job 19 again. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. He was a man of faith, therefore he could wait. So many live for this life. The believer can look up to the Lord, having faith within, wait to the appointed time. Have you faith? It's so vital. We thought at the beginning of a man's days, we thought at the end, how vital it is before the end comes, that you are found believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Job had faith, therefore he could wait. Secondly, Job submitted to God's will. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. The appointed time, the service, the warfare. He was facing many difficulties. He was in a battle, but he submitted to God's will. Will I wait? He knew this day, these appointed days, were in accordance to the will of God, the service that he was facing. And he submitted. Will I wait? Now, this may not be easy, particularly when loved ones are taken. Great difficulties are before us. But all we must say with Christ, Luke 22, verse 42, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. All the days of my appointed time will I wait. Is Job submitting to the will of God? Are you submitting to the will of God? Have you faith? You're looking to Jesus and you're submitting to the will of God. Whatever comes, you're submitting to the will of God. In James 4, verse 14 and 15, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Oh, that we would think of that verse every day. Because we often forget the brevity of life. And we often forget to say the Lord willing. For ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Have you made your plans tomorrow? Did you consider God in your plans? If you didn't, before you go to bed, speak to him in prayer. If thou dost will, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Our lives are not in God's hand, are they? Our lives are not in our hands, they're in God's hand. We're to submit then to the will of God, for our lives are in his hand. The apostles submitted to the will of God, Acts 18, verse 21. But bade them farewell. That is, those Jews saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. If God will, he recognized that his life was in God's hand. And he submitted to the will of God. As we live out these appointed days, we're to live them by submitting to the will of God. Thy will. On the day Eric Liddell died, 21st of February, 1945, he said to one Annie, Annie, it is all surrender. And he went to be with Christ. All surrender. Is it all surrender with you? Or is there something you're not surrendering? You're not being obedient. Job, he submitted to the will of God. Eric Liddell on his deathbed. It is all surrender. It ought to be every day of our lives. It is all surrender. That we might be able to be found saying on our deathbed, it is all surrender. Oh, dear congregation, what a blessing to be found submitting to the will of God. Thirdly, Job rested in the Lord. All the days of my appointed time will I wait. Will I wait? Here's Job, he's resting. He's resting that God holds his life. Is that how you're living? By resting? What a blessing to be found resting in the Lord. That he has our lives. That I live each day he has appointed. And when death comes, that is his appointment. Resting in the Lord, that's the way to live, isn't it? Leaning on the beloved, we see in Song of Solomon 8, verse 5. Resting in the Lord, Psalm 37, verse 7. Are you resting? Because you're living out not your days, but the days God has appointed for you. How many they be, whether they be many or whether they be few, I will live each day that he has appointed. And we ought to be thankful. He's appointed us another day. We do not know how many more. So each day we're to rest in him. And each day we're to be thankful. Fourthly, Job was in expectation. All the days of my appointed time will I wait. The word wait is to be, speaks of to be patient, hope, trust, expect. He looked forward to better things. Are you looking forward? Dear child of God, you look forward to better things. When trials are past, when sin is gone, to being with Christ. And then particularly in light of this verse, to the resurrection morning, when your body will be changed and it will be glorious. Are you looking forward? Are you in expectation? Remember the Apostle Paul, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I meet some people who profess Christ and I wonder if they really want to go to heaven or if their feet firmly upon earth. To die is gain. The world may say to the Christian, how can you say that? But to be with Christ, what a gain that is, to be free from sin, in expectation of better things. Are you expecting? When did you last think of going home to be with Jesus? That thought should ought to bring you joy every day. Why do I say that? Because you don't know how many more days you have. This may be the last day, therefore we ought to be rejoicing. Amen. Rejoicing in going home. Expectation. There are many things we must attend to that take our time, but are you waiting? Job says here, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. I'm waiting. I'm looking by faith to the Lord. I'm submitting to his will. Whatever comes is my way in the warfare. I'm resting. What a way to live. It's how some Christian soldiers in the battlefield in America could go on the next day. They could go on valiantly in the battle because they knew that God held their lives. And when their appointed time came, they would die. They on they went. Are you resting? It's the way to live, isn't it? Thinking of your life, resting in the Lord. And are you in expectation? All the days of my appointed time, will I wait? I'm expecting, I'm looking forward, I can't wait to see Jesus. Or is there someone here not a Christian? You young ones, do you love the Lord? Here's a test. Oh, do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to go home? Are you in expectation? Will I wait? Here's Job in the midst of trial, looking up and looking forward. Let me ask you as I close, on another time we'll consider my coming change, but let me ask as I close, are you in expectation of seeing Jesus? Or is there something else at this very moment you want to do? And seeing Jesus isn't a priority. I pray that everyone, before they go to sleep tonight, so wants to see Jesus. Amen.